All right, good afternoon, everyone. If you could find your seat. City Council will come back from our short recess. And just for the record, Carla, can you call the roll?
Leonard?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Adams?
Here. Quorum is present, and we shall proceed. Can you read the appropriate titles to the appropriate items we're considering, 1359 and 1360, non-emergency ordinances?
1359, approve agreements among the city and one or more of the Portland Development Commission, RIP City Management LLC, doing business as Portland Arena Management, and Portland Winterhawks, Inc., for the renovation and operation of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum for use by the Portland Winterhawks hockey team and for other events, uses, and activities. 1360, approve an option agreement among the Office of Management and Finance, the Portland Development Commission, and RIP City Management LLC, doing business as Portland Arena Management, to transfer certain land and property development rights in the Rose Quarter District and authorize the establishment of a Rose Quarter event parking district as specified.
So Portland City Council and the City of Portland and others have been actively considering the future of Veterans Memorial Coliseum for about 16 years. Veterans Memorial Coliseum has served as a regional asset for 51 years, providing a venue for community celebrations and entertainment and athletic event, hosting on average over 400,000 visitors per year. It is one of the most used large event facilities in the Pacific Northwest. The last time this issue was before the City Council provided direction to us that Memorial Coliseum was here to stay and that had no intention of going back on that promise. Important for the veterans in our community, for the future of the district and the surrounding neighborhoods to finally have a decision of whether it was going to go or stay, and with the removal of that uncertainty, to finally be able to market it to investors so that it can realize its full potential as the center of the center of the region. I want to call out the citizens' participation over nearly 2 months of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee, which represents Portland citizens' values and the diversity. That group solicited folks to put forth their best ideas for Memorial Coliseum. And we got a lot of ideas, everything from a natural history museum to a water park to a sound stage. There are lots of ideas, some good ideas, not necessarily financially feasible ideas, and from that, culled it down to the restoration and renovation that City Council approved as part of the terms of agreement and that we're beginning to see today with, beginning to work on today with the actual development agreement. This effort has also had the citizen leadership in the creation of the community benefits framework to guide the future Rose Quarter development in addition to the Coliseum. The agreements that will come before Council today are a culmination of many years of effort. There are two ordinances that Carla has read the title for. To assure the renovation and substantial improvement of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, with the Blazers acting as project manager, assuming the financial risk for doing so, and providing project management at no cost, I'm very thankful to PAM, as they are known, the Blazers, for their willingness to do that, and they lend great expertise in doing so. The ordinance in front of us will also identify when and how the money for the project will flow. It recognizes the Rose Quarter as a critical redevelopment area for the city and transfers to PDC the lead role in redeveloping publicly owned properties around the BMC, and also with financial benefits accruing to the Spectator Development Fund should the redevelopment come to pass, and it better. I'm still going to be a citizen here. Through these agreements, the city is recognizing that expertise with PDC, and they are looking forward to getting to work. This agreement further provides that the Portland Winterhawks will be the anchor tenant and an active partner in the Veterans Memorial Coliseum for at least 10 years with an option for 20 more. It guarantees that the Blazers operation and programming the Veterans Memorial Coliseum for 10 years and perhaps longer. I want to also, before we get presentations, I've asked that today our presentations and discussion and work with council will be just with city staff and PDC staff and leadership because of the news reports that we all read about in the newspaper over the past 24, 48 hours. And I want to read this statement regarding those developments. The Winterhawks are Portland's hockey team and one of the most successful Western Hockey League franchises in the history of that league, having reached the WHL finals each of the past 2 years under new ownership. The Winterhawks enjoy exceptional fan base and community support, drawing over 200,000 fans per year with an average 6,200 attendees per game, not including playoffs. They provide family-friendly entertainment, and they stand out as one of Portland's most beloved sports franchises. Since the news of the sanctions came to our attention, I've been in close direct communications with the Hawks management and the owner as the story has unfolded. And based on what the league has been willing to publicize, I believe that the proposed sanctions that are proposed by the league are excessive. Not only are they excessive, they threaten the very financial underpinnings of this deal, proposed deal itself. And I urge the league to come up with more reasonable sanctions for whatever violations did occur. I want to reiterate the city's commitment to the team and our support for their future success. With that, I'd like to call forward PDC Chair Scott Andrews, Chief Administrative Officer for the city, Jack Graham, that are going to frame the discussion, brief background, high-level sort of description of the deal points. Then we'll hear from Peter Engelinner, Betsy Ames, and Rob Birchfield that will get down into more of the deal structure, financial analysis, talk about lessons learned from Geldman Field. Then we'll hear from Dina Alexander, who will go through the document. So you'll see a PowerPoint that will distill it, and then more of a page-by-page document. We expect that to be done with an interpretive dance accompanying it. And then from there, we'll go into Q&A. But I encourage the council, we're not going to be voting on this for at least 2 weeks, maybe more, encourage the council to really take this as an opportunity to ask all the questions as we go along that come to mind.
So I wonder, before we start, I mean, I kind of feel like this is an example of, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you like to play? Isn't it a little difficult to go through? I mean, I'm asking, honestly, not as a loaded question, isn't it difficult to go through the deal points that each of us have had private briefings on, given the events that we read about, which can precipitate a financial collapse of the Winterhawks, as I understand it? How can we consider this deal on its face, given the circumstances the Winterhawks find themselves in? I am an avid supporter of the Winterhawks. I go to their games. I take my grandson to their games. I don't know what the details are, other than I could not vote as good of a deal as I think Jack and Scott have negotiated. I couldn't support such a deal given this looming comet heading towards us without some more information about what's happening there. And I'm not sure the points of the deal right now make a lot of sense.
I will tell you that the owner of the Winterhawks and the person who would be putting up the $10 million, given the timing of the sanctions, is not His reaction is not dissimilar to yours, other than he wants to make this deal happen. I asked him for his advice, and he said, at least get familiar with what's on the table, go through all the details. And he's working hard to get the league to be more reasonable in their initial sanctions for whatever violations occurred. So he encouraged us to please get into the details. If we need to take more time before we vote so that the league will come to its senses, he is fine with doing that. I'm fine with doing that. He's not going to agree to something, and we're not going to agree to something that, with the league's exorbitant sanctions, excessive sanctions, none of us can fulfill.
But is that even possible to happen in the next 33 days?
He's hopeful it is.
It is. Okay.
But it is in the league's hands.
Okay.
And I guess I would add that I have faith in Portland's hockey fans that with a renovated Coliseum and with continuing to watch the Hawks, regardless, that we would be able to maintain a team to help them get through this difficult period. The various college football teams have gotten through sanctions and come back after it, and indeed continue to be entertaining and marketable in the meantime. So I know how much Portlanders do enjoy their hockey team, so I want to express my personal support for the Winterhawks.
Mayor Adams, as I read the terms of the proposed sanction, it reads more to me, as Randy said, as a death warrant and less like a probation, frankly. And if a team has got to forfeit its coach, its draft picks, its ability to play in the postseason, I mean, these are not teams that run on the most significant margins anyway. I mean, it does. So my understanding of how the mayor would like to proceed today is for us to take advantage of the opportunity to just better understand the outline of the deal. But in light of this development, I get my senses. I won't probably go as deep as I otherwise would, but I just want to understand generically. And with the understanding that if a miracle happens, because the other problem I understand from the news reports is there isn't even a clear protocol for how you appeal this. Where there is clear protocols, there's usually litigation. Where there isn't clear protocols, first you have to establish them, and that's going to be an additional hurdle. I think the record is clear. We're all reserving our right to revisit this at some greater depth later, and we appreciate the opportunity to at least understand the proposed deal that's before us.
I think that's totally fair. Mr. Chair,
yes.
Of the Portland Development Commission.
Good afternoon. I'm Scott Andrews. I'm chairman of the Portland Development Commission, and appreciate the opportunity to at least attempt to move this forward a little bit. It's a very complex transaction, and I know we've briefed you several times, but we'll spend the time this afternoon really getting you up to speed so that hopefully this one last pothole, and there have been several in the way of this deal, can be filled and we can make something happen. I got started on this in October of 2009. When Mayor Adams asked Charles Wilhoit and I to review the activities of the Citizens Advisory Committee, and the mayor misspoke. The Citizens Advisory Committee met for 2 years.
What did I say?
2 months. Okay.
Why did I misspoke?
What he meant was you could have done it in 2 months, but you took 2 years. It was
that's true about a lot of aspects of this deal.
Commissioner. Admonishing you.
They met 17 times. They looked at over 100 different proposed activities. The mayor asked Charles and I to take a look at this, me because of my development background, Charles because of his work at the time with the North-Northeast expansion and the change that was happening with the Urban Renewal District. We sat down with each of the three finalists. One was a school. One was the renovation into a giant sporting facility, and the last, but certainly not least, was the renovation of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. We met with all three parties, found that none were willing to work with each other, looked at the pros and cons, and came to the conclusion, the two of us, that by far the best finalist was the renovation. And when it went back to the Citizens Advisory Committee, that was agreed by consensus. There was nobody who disagreed that after exhaustive public look, that this wasn't by far the best thing that we could do with that piece of land in that particular building. Since that time, I have spent on average 4 or 5 hours a week on this process. I know a lot more about the Rose Quarter, a lot more about the Veterans Memorial Coliseum than I ever thought I would. But it hasn't been all bad. I've come to 3 major conclusions. One is, and the real reason why I'm here as PDC chair and behind this, I think the major impediment to getting renovation done to the Rose Quarter District has been the giant question mark that's been sitting on this building for 15 or 17 years. As a developer myself, I could hardly fathom coming up with a concept for a development that was next door or based on what was going on in that district, not knowing what was going to happen with the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. This action takes that giant question mark off of it for probably at least 20 years with a $31 million investment. People with confidence can know that it will continue not only be the home for the Portland Winterhawks, but also a number of community events, graduations, other sporting events, and with that kind of confidence, it will make it much easier to get something done. That's a very valuable quadrant. The planning shows that there can be quite a bit of density there with the streetcar that's going through it. The timing's right. The economy's getting better. This is going to be a big help to having that happen. We had this conversation at my board meeting today. My commission took action to approve our executive director to have the authority to move forward on these agreements. And you can imagine there was quite a bit of discussion about the health of the Winterhawks and these particular sanctions. And I think it's very easy to get buried in that particular issue. I think you need to remember that we're not doing this for the Portland Winterhawks. We are doing this to renovate a very important community asset. There are over, Winterhawks are roughly half the attendance, but there are currently more than 200,000 other people that visit that site. And there should be considerably more, but the building is very, very tired, and it's very difficult to bring new events, let alone bring back old events in a facility that has barely been touched in 50 years.
Can I interrupt you just there?
Sure.
So, but what about the $10 million contribution by the Hawks? How much of this renovation is dependent upon that?
Well, I would say without the $10 million, there would not be a renovation. Within the $10 million that the Winterhawks are providing, I think at the end of the day, I would say that there's $6 or $7 million worth of fan enhancements. So there's $3 or $4 million worth of just maintenance and repair out of the 10. So without that $10 million, you would have a 3/4 renovated Memorial Coliseum with none of the fan enhancements that would help bring more events and make people more comfortable at the events that are there.
So just to be clear, that was my understanding when we had our briefings and discussions and why I've raised this issue here today, because there, as the mayor pointed out, some question on the part of the owner of the Winterhawks as to whether or not he can fulfill his commitment if these sanctions stick. These actual terrible organization killing sanctions that I won't pass judgment on whether they're correct or not. I don't know enough about the charges, but I've never quite seen anything of that dimension focused towards a sports team that would almost seem as though it's intended to permanently damage them.
And I wouldn't disagree with you, and in my discussions with their executive team, this was a huge surprise to them, not that there were some sanctions, but that they are to the level that they are, and they're having a hard time figuring it out, and that's why they think they're getting support from others that there's a good chance that maybe they can reduce the sanctions, that the league will wake up to the true consequences of following through with these. The other piece of this in terms of uses is the 2 Coliseum complex is very unique in the United States, and that there's a number of events that we're able to do that we wouldn't be able to do without having both of them. And I will highlight one that is people are very excited for already, and it's the biggest in-season NCAA basketball tournament ever scheduled. It's supposed to be here in Portland. It's in celebration of Phil Knight's 80th birthday, but it's supposed to have 16 of the top basketball teams in America here. It couldn't happen without a renovated Memorial Coliseum. That's just one event. And I bring that up because as I was doing my due diligence, what you find when you take a look at even the unrenovated Coliseum, it only took one major event. When we had World Cup tennis here, we had a very profitable year. So it really only takes one really well-attended super event to create hundreds of thousands of dollars of revenue and all of the ancillary jobs that come with that, the travel, the eating, the shopping, et cetera. So it does put us on the map in terms of the ability to bring events to Portland that are very unique and are not available to other people. The last piece is, and it really hit me hard at the press conference when the veterans came and showed their enthusiasm for this renovation and announced their $2.5 million fundraising campaign, and that is, this is the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, and the city of Portland should be a building that the city of Portland is proud of. It should be a building that the veterans can be proud of, and I can't say that it is in its current condition a building that we're all proud of. I know I wanted to talk about two quick things before I turn it over to Jack. One is, there was has been some discussion about the risk to the spectator fund that this proposal has, Jack is going to go through that. He does a very good job of protecting the city, and we've done a lot of things to mitigate those risks, and we believe the rewards outweigh those risks. But I want you to remember that you need to weigh them against the alternatives. And the alternatives are probably no renovation, which means that the city owns an unrenovated Memorial Coliseum that badly needs $25 million worth of just repair and maintenance work to it. And that is a huge risk to the spectator fund and at the end of the day, the general fund. So that's what I have on the Veterans Memorial Coliseum side. That's what I have spent most of my time and effort on. I did just want to talk quickly about the second ordinance, which is the option agreement. And when the initial term sheet came to City Council, the opportunity for PDC to develop those properties was couched in the terms of development rights. Even at the time we were sitting in front of City Council, however, I remember the discussion had already moved to actually transferring the land rights to us, and there were three reasons for that. One was we are going to be backing up Winterhawks funds if they aren't paid, at least to the level of $2 million. So the value of this would give us some backup to cover that if we had to pay it. Two, it would give us a pot of money in 2023 if our contingent license became effective and we were running the Memorial Coliseum and they were losses, although we're pretty confident that won't happen. And finally, a recognition that this property in the hands of PDC gives it the greatest opportunity to get developed in a reasonable period of time. We not only have the expertise, and the leverage, but we have a real desire to see those properties developed and made profitable and turned into jobs, both from a construction standpoint and a long-term standpoint. So if there are some questions in terms of kind of the shift from development agreement, we may get into that, into option agreement. It went from development agreement to transferring title to now we're asking for an option agreement, quite frankly, because as we had gotten into those properties, PDC has not had an opportunity to do the due diligence necessary to make sure that the value is there in those properties that we think that there is. As always, as you start to get involved, you start to peel it back, there's environmental concerns, there are utility concerns, there are operating agreement concerns. In some of the cases, these pieces of property are part of the operation of the VMC, and we want to make sure that we don't get in the way of properly operating VMC, don't get away in the way of events that we want to have there. And so we want a little bit more time to make sure that this makes sense for PDC to take on.
Did you have an estimate? What was the working estimate you were using before you started thinking of those other considerations for the value of that land?
I think a round number of around $5 million, but I'd say that it's already considerably less than that from what we've been able to ascertain.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Did you have more?
I have no more unless there are questions. I'll hand it over to Jack.
Mr. Chief Administrative Officer.
Good afternoon, Council. Jack Graham, Chief Administrative Officer. The renovation of the VMC has been a priority project for the Office of Management and Finance for at least the year and a half that I've been CAO. We expect that several outcomes would be achieved through these negotiations with PDC, PAM, and the Winterhawks. The first was to keep the VMC open. Second was to renovate the VMC to address deferred maintenance, improve user and fan experience, and improve the marketability of the building for a number of a range of reasons for users and for other events. As Scott has stated, this would serve as a catalyst for redevelopment and development in the Rose Quarter, which is a longer-term effort that Council has intended PDC to serve as a lead agency in the development of that area, which OMF supports. I believe that the redevelopment agreement, along with associated agreements, will meet the Council's intent with respect to these outcomes. The building will remain open, continue to serve as a venue for sporting events, and a broad range of community activities and events. It will remain an asset of the city, the region, and the state, and most of all, it will continue to serve as a memorial to our nation's veterans. The VNC renovation agreement provides $31.5 million in capital investment to address deferred maintenance, improve the facilities for users, and enhance the marketability of the building. Our budget may not be able to accommodate all the desired improvements, but it will provide for some major enhancements, including a new ice floor that has been installed, seatings, concessions, user experience, accessibility, and life safety improvements, and much more. What I would like to do now is to turn this over to my staff, Betsy Aim, and PDC staff, Peter Englander. And they will lead you through a presentation that's going to outline the background and specifics of the ordinance that you have in front of you today. Rob Birchfield from PBOT will also present information as it relates to the parking district that is also a part of the ordinance. So with that, I just want to say that when I began this project, the first thing that I looked at was that whether or not this project was in the best interest of the city. Leveraging the $10 million PDC dollars, working with PDC and with the parties involved, I still am at that same point that I think that this is in the best interest of the city also the region. So with that, if you have any questions for me.
So I have some questions, but if you're going to have a staff presentation, does it make sense to go?
Yes. We'll be back. Yeah, we'll be back. We'll be back at the end.
Thank you. You're going to get a lot of detail. Welcome. Don't forget to tell us your names. Who's going first?
Betsy.
Ms. Ames.
Betsy Ames with the Office of Management and Finance. We have a PowerPoint presentation that we will be trading off turns doing presentations. I'm going to start off just to let you know, this is the first of three planned council sessions. Today we're doing the presentation as discussed. If there's some public testimony, we'll have an opportunity to hear that as well, and then also have an opportunity for the council to ask questions and to provide some direction to us for when we come back. Next week, we anticipate that we'll have an opportunity for additional public stakeholder testimony. We'll bring back information that the council has requested, have some more discussion around the items then, and then pass it on to second reading on December 12th when we would expect the council to vote on the matter. And at that time, we'd be able to answer any final questions that the council might have. You should have a copy of, or Carla will be giving you a copy of a couple of sheets from the PowerPoint presentation. We can also provide you the full presentation later. But because of the number.
We do next week and the fall, I think. Yeah, it's actually three sessions.
Right.
And if we push up, we might push off the last session. Sorry.
Because of the numbers of participants that are involved, I thought it would be useful to have this in front of you for your reference, as well as acronyms. I've been with the city for a long time, and I know that the city loves acronyms. This project probably has more acronyms than I have ever encountered in my career with the city. So the participants, this project has been led by the mayor's office with the participation of the Office of Management and Finance, with the Portland Development Commission, with Portland Arena Management, who is currently the operator of the VMC and of the Rose Quarter facilities. They're often referred to as PAM. The Portland Winterhawks, the major tenant in the VMC. VMC, of course, is another acronym for the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. The Portland Bureau of Transportation has been involved with the discussions around the event pricing district and some properties in the district. And then we have legal counsel from both the city attorney's office and outside counsel, Dina Alexander, and her colleagues at Radler White Parks and Alexander LLP. Here's the list of acronyms very quickly. Veterans Memorial Coliseum, VMC. Most of the rest of the acronyms we'll be talking about more as we go along through the presentation. The Spectator Facilities Fund will often show up as SFF. And as discussed earlier, there are two ordinances before you today. We have color-coded the boxes, and we'll be using these as we go through. The Veterans Memorial Coliseum renovation is covered mostly by Ordinance 1359, which has a number of associated agreements. The option agreement in the Rose Quarter Event Parking District is in Ordinance 1360, and that approves the option agreement with Portland Development Commission for the Rose Quarter properties and authorizes the Rose Quarter Event Parking District. I am now going to turn it over to Peter Englander, who is with PDC and is going to provide some background on the process that led us to today.
This is very helpful. I've never had a presentation that did this so purposely. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Peter Englander. I'm a central city manager at the Portland Development Commission. I'm going to go relatively quickly through background on the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. The building, as you know, was opened in 1961. It's the home venue, the Portland Trail Blazers in 1970 through 1995, as well as being the home venue for the Portland Winterhawks since 1976. When the Rose Garden Arena opened in 1995 as the new home of the Trailblazers, the Memorial Coliseum remained open, but its future was uncertain, as Chair Andrews mentioned, that uncertainty existed for quite some time. You can go ahead, Betsy. I will then bring you forward to 2009 when we started this current effort. Part of it started with the consideration of the demolition of this building for a minor league ballpark. Later on, Mayor Sam Adams convened the Rose Quarter Stakeholder Advisory Committee that we've already talked about, meeting some 17 times over a two-year period. There were a couple of other groups that met, so we really had three different public processes on this. The Veterans Focus Group also met for the first time in late 2009, and I just met with them again a few days ago, and you heard about their effort and interest in raising significant funds to improve the Veterans Memorial Gardens. In 2010, we added this building to the National Historic Register, which really solidified its certainty as staying as a building in our community. There was a huge request for proposals, and there were many, many of them that were reviewed. At the Coliseum, it was quite a night where over 100 of these concepts were reviewed. And at the same time, Commissioner Charles Wilhoit of the Portland Development Commission had convened a community benefits subcommittee that, after five meetings, created quite a community benefits framework, which we continue to reference and is part of our option agreement today. In 2011, we officially renamed the building the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, and the partners that we've talked about this afternoon, including the Portland Development Commission, the Office of Management and Finance, Portland Arena Management, and the Portland Winterhawks, started discussing the major aspects of this transaction in July of 2011, and we finished up a great deal of that work just a couple of weekends ago. So it took a great deal of time, and as Chair Andrews mentioned, it was very, very complex. During that time, you have passed resolutions, term sheets. We've kept you informed along the way, and we started the design in 2011. We completed the schematic design at the end of 2011, which gave us the basis for the scope of work that we do still have today. So as has been already mentioned by the Chief Administrative Officer, the sources of funds come from three places, but in addition to that, we also have a great partner in Portland Arena Management, who will be our construction manager, and you approved in an ordinance a little bit less than a year ago, sole source ordinance, and they will perform their duties at no cost. The Portland Winterhawks have represented a contribution of $10 million that we've been working with during this entire time, and the Portland Development Commission has committed to a $17.1 million participation in it out of the Oregon Convention Center Urban Renewal Area. That has been memorialized and is in these documents as an intergovernmental agreement. There is one in place right now which helped fund the ice floor work just took place, and also is the source of funds for the $4.4 million loan to the Spectator Facility Fund. So we continue to talk about a $31.5 million project.
Okay. Back to me. I'm going to be talking about ordinance, all the agreements related to Ordinance 1359. This page shows a visual picture of how they're organized according to the document you have in front of you, the roughly inch and a half thick stack of papers that you have, which has all of the agreements associated with the renovation project. I will be walking through each of them, highlighting the specific agreements and how they relate to each other. I will be focusing mostly on the deal points. Dina Alexander, who's with Radler White Parks and Alexander LLP, will be addressing some of the specific legal issues and particular sections of these agreements. There might be a little bit of overlap, and we'll try to limit our interpretive dance to the minimum possible. The renovation agreement, the framing document, is the redevelopment agreement, the RDA, which is between PAM, the Winterhawks, and the City of Portland. The RDA, the project funding agreement, and the amended and restated IGA with PDC describe the agreements related to the project's budget and scope, the funding sources, and the approval processes for the renovation of the VMC. We do have one other party involved, the funding agent, which is U.S. Bank, who's signatory to the project funding agreement. The scope of work includes a number of different improvements. The arena bowl improvements include new seats, ADA seating improvements, a scoreboard with video replay, the NHL-sized ice rink with dashers and glass that were installed this summer. Concourse and event level improvements include a remodeled Winterhawks locker room and offices, renovation of restrooms, renovation of increasing operability of the doors for ADA requirements, and providing wayfinding signage. The building infrastructure and systems, as we know, it's an old building, and this project will replace domestic plumbing piping, will upgrade electrical systems, and will repair and restore the pagoda canopy. Safety and code improvements include emergency lighting upgrades, fire sprinkler and alarm upgrades, improved handrails and guardrails. For the Memorial Gardens improvements, the project itself is carrying funding to do some infrastructure improvements to the plumbing to the fountain, and the 2% for art contribution will be committed to the Memorial Gardens as well. All of the partners, as we were discussing the scope of work and adjusting the scope of work to meet the budget, had to make some concessions as to what would be included and what wouldn't be included, because we were planning to the budget, not budgeting to a desired scope of work. So this does not include some of the items that were originally contemplated, including the roof replacement, a new loading truck dock, half-house curtains that could make a more intimate space for concerts, new rigging capacity, and glue lam restoration.
What was that last thing?
Glue lam restoration. There are wooden pillars that frame the outside of, or outside of the building, or the curtain wall, and they've been painted over time, and there's a desire to restore them back to their original glory and be able to highlight the wood that's used there. Here are some of the pictures from the schematic designs, showing the pagoda, showing some of the wayfinding and concourse improvements, as well as the new ice floor. The project funding agreement governs the funding and how the money gets put into the account and dispersed. The city and PDC and the Winterhawks have agreed to the following funding plan. The city and PDC would fund at closing, and the Winterhawks funding would come in three installments, with the first installment at closing for the first $2.5 million, an additional $2.5 million at 25% of the project being completed no earlier than April of 2013, no later than July 1st, 2013, and then the final $5 million being contributed no later than July 1st, 2013. The amended and restated IGA is between the City of Portland and PDC. It's an update of the IGA that the City Council approved in January. The terms that have changed include the addition of the loan of $4.4 million from PDC to the Spectator Facility Funds, and it outlines the specifics for repayment of that. The city will not be making any payments for 5 years, the kind of pinch point for the Spectator Fund, and repayment will be at 2% interest starting in 2018. That amended and restated IGA also includes a $2 million contingent grant for heating and cooling system in the building that was removed from the project scope based on the promise of district energy. We're still working on district energy for the Rose Quarter and surrounding area. The revenue sharing agreement was negotiated between the city and the Portland Winterhawks to provide a return on investment for the Winterhawks' $10 million contribution to the project. This, we negotiated baselines with them based on historic performance of both Winterhawks and other events at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, and negotiated a share of revenues above those baselines going forward. 100% of user fees above the baseline generated by Winterhawks events would go to the Winterhawks. 50% above the baseline for other events would go to the Winterhawks, and there's a fixed calculation for their share of increase in parking revenue. The city PAM operating agreement is actually a second amendment to the original operating agreement that's almost 20 years old now. PAM has been operating the facility, PAM or its predecessors have been operating the facility for almost 20 years. This will extend that agreement for another 10 years with two additional five-year extension options beyond that. As part of the negotiations, we agreed to share in the net operating losses up to $400,000 of losses, $200,000 city, $200,000 PAM, and both parties will be able to recover those out of subsequent years' net operating profits. The agreement also continues or has a shared commitment to spend money on repair, maintenance, and deferred capital investment and structural repair so that we don't get into the same position down the line. As discussed at the council session on August 22nd of this year, the city and PDC negotiated a conditional operating agreement in the event that PAM doesn't exercise its additional extension options in 2023 to continue operating the VMC. This was done in order to provide the Winterhawks with certainty that there would be an operator in 2023 so that they could continue to play for the next 20 years. For the city, it was important to know what our costs and expenses would be, and those have been negotiated. The city PDC conditional OA is based on the existing city PAM agreement. Most of the terms are the same. There are some changes to the shared net operating loss that was negotiated with PAM. However, the city's total exposure would be up to $250,000 of losses. And in one difference, there wouldn't be reimbursement in subsequent years' net operating profits. It also continues a joint commitment to repair, maintenance, and deferred capital investments. And per the conversation at council in August, PDC has committed to continuing to have community and public events such as the Rose Festival Parade, Oregon Sports Athletic Association competitions, Rose Festival graduations, et cetera. The last of the agreements is an architect services assignment. As Peter mentioned, PDC contracted for design work. This allows for that work to be transferred over, as the work product to be transferred over to the city and PAM for use in the next stages of design and construction. Finally, there are three related items that aren't before the council for action that we just wanted to let you be aware of. Both operators, PDC and PAM, or potential operator, PDC and PAM is the current operator, have negotiated sublicenses with the Winterhawks for them to play in the VMC. The city of Portland is not party to either of those sublicenses. And lastly, the scoreboard. The Portland Winterhawks will be paying to operate, repair, and maintain the large scoreboard. They will receive advertising revenue and sell the naming rights for that, but they take on the responsibility for keeping it up to date and in good repair. As a result, we have agreed to pay a nominal rent for the use of that at non-Hawks events throughout the term of the agreement. And now I'm going to turn it over to Peter.
Yes, and I'm going to go through the option agreement, and Rob will go through the event parking district.
For the record, your name is?
My name again is Peter Englander, Central City Manager at the Portland Development Commission.
Those transcribing, it's helpful if you could re-mention your name.
And if I might just ask a quick question before we move on to the second, and that is, you reminded me about naming rights with the scoreboard. What's in the agreement regarding the main building and naming rights?
There are no naming rights for the building. It will remain the Veterans Memorial Coliseum and cannot be renamed.
Thank you.
Peter Englander, Portland Development Commission. The option agreement details the terms under which the city would transfer fee title or ground lease to the Portland Development Commission. There are five parcels within the Rose Quarter that are involved. The agreement currently also has a provision to replace spectator fund revenue that may be lost due to development at two of the parcels, and that'll be covered next in detail by Rob. We are also working towards a future council action for transfer of certain right-of-way controlled by the Bureau of Transportation, so we'll talk about that later. As part of the Rose Quarter stakeholder advisory process, the Portland Development Commission completed a Rose Quarter district plan that shows how the future development at the Rose Quarter and beyond the Rose Quarter could be implemented. A key component of this has been certainty about which kind of development could take place, which is why it's been so important to establish the certainty of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, and that was the first step. The second step of that certainty was the Northeast Quadrant Plan and I-5 Interchange Facility Plan that you adopted just on October 25th by resolution. If implemented, the patterns of development could change quite dramatically in and around the Rose Quarter. So that was some very important work that the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability had performed. These are examples of the certainty, along with the recently opened streetcar, that will help attract new consideration of development in this very centrally located and easily accessible district within our central city. The other thing I want to mention is that the value of the Central City 2035 Northeast Quadrant Plan really established much more of a connection throughout the entire entire Lloyd District. And this is obviously in the middle of that connection between a bulk of the Lloyd District and the river. Within this particular Rose District, that plan also considers some additional height, which will also help us with future development. The option agreement itself gives PDC the ability to direct new development at the Rose Quarter. The option gives PDC the time to perform the due diligence and commence discussions back with the city and the Portland Arena Management and embark on the Rose Quarter redevelopment implementation. The purpose is to expedite development at the Rose Quarter by providing the city's Economic Development Agency with the tools to leverage this underutilized district, as well as future resources for PDC beyond tax increment. So that's a very important component of this as well. The 15 years enables PDCs to commence these efforts as the Veterans Memorial Coliseum renovation is underway, and changes to the zoning and entitlements and additional progress on the reconfiguration of I-5. There's a lot of complex agreements on most all of these parcels, and we need time to work those out with our partners at the city and Portland Arena Management. The next slide goes over the specific parcels. I'm going to point them out in the slide beyond this, but before I do that, I want to focus on three of the parcels and some of the complexities I just mentioned. The Benton Block, which is the first parcel mentioned here, is a very important piece of real estate for the operation of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. It's used for staging. It is used for the backing up of the semis into the Coliseum loading area itself. It's very, very crucial to the operation of the building. So there's much interest in making sure that the building can continue to operate if there was future development. Of course, another major use of this lot is the Rose Festival Parade itself, which the whole building was designed around. And so that parade goes through that building, and it comes out, and it goes through the Benton lot. The other part of that Benton lot is that it is right on Broadway. It is a very developable piece of real estate. It's probably the most developable piece of real estate. But we need some time to figure out all those complexities I just mentioned to you. So this option agreement essentially holds off redevelopment of that lot for the first 5 years, and the bar is very, very high for us to start redevelopment there within that five-year period. But it also frames that five-year period, so after that, we're going to have much more flexibility to be able to do so. Another piece of real estate that's involved in this transaction is the east-west garages themselves, and there's two aspects of that I'd like to mention. One is that this agreement does commit the Portland Development Commission, if we were to redevelop the garages themselves in any way, that we would replace or keep 98% of the parking that currently exists there. I believe there's 1,100 spaces between the east and west garages, and we will commit to keep or replace so that there is always at least 98% of the spaces that there are that are there now. However, just to the north of those parking garages is probably one of the most easily developable pieces of real estate that fronts on to Broadway Widler right there. So that can be something that we can move on much more quickly. The last piece I want to mention is, because I don't want to alarm folks too much, is the Veterans Memorial Coliseum itself. In the very, very unlikely event that anything does happen to this building, this option agreement does give the Portland Development Commission the ability to redevelop the building and the plaza in front as part of this transaction. I wanted to show you this slide because it shows the parcels themselves. Obviously, the Coliseum, everything in red on the smaller photograph or aerial are the pieces that are part of the option agreement. As I mentioned, the Veterans Memorial Coliseum itself and the unlikely possibility of demolition. Most importantly, though, the Benton Lock to the north towards the lower part of the picture and the east-west garages. There's also a small triangle that's just to the left or to the east of the east-west garages that we've included in that, and that's because of the real possibility that the way the traffic moves through the Rose Quarter may change with the reconfiguration of Interstate 5. So even parcels like that may become important. And then lastly, there is a small parcel that is closer to the transit center itself to the south or to the top of the photograph that was going to be a Phase 2 entertainment complex, and that is part of this transaction as well. I've tried to highlight in the larger photo, the larger depiction, which was done out of the Rose Quarter district plan, and Mike McCulloch, who did that plan, is here today, and I just highlighted the parcels in the circles that are part of this redevelopment and how it was envisioned in the Rose Quarter district plan itself. So what are the benefits of the option agreement? Well, this transfers responsibility for the development to the city's economic development and redevelopment experts, as has been mentioned so far. It structures a partnership and a time frame with the city and the Portland Arena Management to ensure a smooth Rose Quarter operation and considers the impacts to the Spectator Facilities Fund. As Chair Andrews mentioned, new development would target jobs and, very importantly, increased assessed value to the general fund. So that would be a major outcome of continued development and redevelopment at the Rose Quarter. And we would hope, and as highlighted in the Rose Quarter district plan I just showed you, it would stimulate additional development. As I think it's fairly well known, affiliates of Portland Arena Management own the Thunderbird site right along the river. The north-northeast quadrant plan made some very strong considerations of how that property could be developed that would ensure green space, that would ensure a great view corridor, both from the river, for those of us who use the river and kayak up and down it, but also from the building itself out to the river as well. Our option agreement incorporates this community benefits framework. Was very important work that was done during the stakeholder advisory committee, and it also continues to further PDC's resource diversification, as I've mentioned. So with that, we will move on to Rob Birchfield, who will talk about the Rose Quarter Event Parking District.
Okay. Mayor Adams, commissioners, I'm Rob Birchfield, Transportation System Group Manager for the Bureau of Transportation. As first step, I'd like to introduce a substitute ordinance for Ordinance 1360 for your consideration.
We're just, and there's some other technical amendments that are being, you're going to introduce it into our discussion, but I'm going to pile up all the requested amendments for next time or the time after.
Okay.
So you can just give it to us, and do we have it? We have it.
You've got it.
Great.
I'll tell you very briefly what that substitute ordinance does. It basically changes, rather than considering this creation of the event parking district for decision now, what it does is it directs PBOT to return to you within a year with a proposal to implement this district. So it provides up to a year's time for more stakeholder and public input to this process. Now I'll talk a little bit about what...
Sorry, if I could interrupt. The sure. Lloyd District TMA has been working on the event proposal with surrounding neighborhoods, I understand now, for some time.
Yes, we've had discussions with the Lloyd District stakeholders, the Lloyd District TMA specifically. And preliminary, we outside of this process, we had talked about potentially next fall as the time period for implementation. So there's actually pretty good synergy between that, the dialogue that was going on there, and this process as well. So the concept of